Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you and welcome to this live radio broadcast. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, and it's great to be with all of you on this Thursday here in Northwest Arkansas. It's a blistery day, a blustery day, said Winnie the Pooh, and the winds are blowing and the rain descended, nearly 3 inches of rain that came to us earlier. So we are just waking up to kind of a new reality and getting ready for winter. And it's interesting, the almanac this year says that the United States is going to have a very bitter cold winter. And yet I know that we're going to thrive right in the midst of it, and we're going to go through, and before you know it, springtime will be here. At least that's what we hope, and everything will be normal, right? But in the last week or so, we've been talking about the necessity of preparing. You know, we gave the hypothetical question yesterday. What if you knew 1 year from now during the 2020 election cycle in the month of November, for example, far-fetched hypothetical, but what if you knew that the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth, persecution against Christians globally around the world at the same time, a real knockout punch from the powers of darkness, and suddenly we were in it? Are you ready for that? Are you prepared for that? Do you have a good plan? And that's what we've been talking about. And today I want to continue a little bit in that theme. And this is where I'd like to go. How to prepare for the Great Tribulation. Last night in our Bible study, we had an amazing time of going through the scriptures. And maybe we could do it again this afternoon or this morning. But I think this is just precious, praise God, word of God to help us. But how then shall we live? I mean, if we were aware of what was coming down the pike and we were getting ready to enter into a time of great tribulation, how then shall we live? Have you ever asked yourself this question before? Now, knowing the time, that it is high time for end time prophecies to be fulfilled, what manner of people ought we to be? And I want to begin with a passage of scripture coming out of the book of Romans, chapter 13. And we're told there in verse 11. So Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And I think it would be of great interest for our listeners to remember and to realize that when the Apostle Paul was writing the majority of his letters, when the Apostle James, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, do you know when they were writing their letters, they were preparing the ecclesia for the persecution, the Nero, you've all heard of Nero. Nero was the crazed Caesar of Rome who was so angry that he blamed the Christians for the great fires of Rome. And you know that he, through his persecution, took the bodies of Christians and lined the streets of Rome and set their bodies on fire with tar so they just kept burning as street lamps. And this is what the apostles and what most of the New Testament is really an encouragement to believers, to those that would follow Jesus Christ, and that they were about to suffer persecution. It's as though the Holy Spirit had put some knowledge in the apostles and made them aware that there was persecution coming. And so when you read the letters of the apostles, you constantly get that urgent message, that desire from all of them, what the church needs to be doing, what the people of God need to be doing, recognizing what is coming. Jesus was really the first to talk to that generation about what was going to come. And that's why when we read Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, this is Jesus literally telling his audience of those days what was coming. He talks about the complete and total obliteration of the temple in Jerusalem, the scattering of the people of God at that time. So he was the first to speak it. His disciples, who became the apostles, later on wrote about it, but it was all in the context of what was coming. The only book in the New Testament that really is not connected to the time frame of what was coming was the book of Revelation. In other words, the thing that was coming that Jesus talked about, the apostles talked about, had already taken place to a degree. John is being persecuted. He's part of the persecution. He's on the island of Patmos, and he's getting a revelation of an even future great tribulation. Welcome to the future. I really believe that's true. But the letters of the apostles were very powerful because they were not all just fluff. It wasn't just prosperity and feel good. It was really the desire of the apostles. Their mission was to make a strong people that were able to stand in the adversity, the opposition, the conflict, the tribulation, the pressure that was going to come, because they were more concerned about their eternal condition rather than their momentary leisure or their momentary pleasure. And I know a lot of time has gone by and we have a sleepy church in a sleepy world right now. But in those days, when we're going to read about those days when the church was awake, when the apostles were aflame and they were on fire, and their message was not get as much as you can in this world and live your best life now. It was get strong, have the sentence of death written on the inside of you, prepare, get ready. You're going through something. But even what they had to go through, many of them went through and were able to advance the gospel and the kingdom of God for the last 2,000 years. I mean, imagine if Nero would have been successful in wiping out every trace of Christianity. Well, in our day and age, the desire is to wipe out every trace of Christianity and Judaism, to get rid of the Jews, to get rid of the Christians, those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So there is, and you hear it from men like Ahmad Ahmadinejad that wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. You see the German reality in the Nazi time with Adolf Hitler of his hatred towards the Jews, Mein Kampf, and how he wants to eliminate and eradicate from the world every vestige of Judaism. Well, that same Antichrist spirit, that evil demonic perdition spirit, that man of sin spirit, is growing in the world today for the greatest, most powerful time of tribulation. So the letters that we're going to be reading in the New Testament are all designed to capture our attention, to awaken us to the reality. So the Apostle Paul literally writes these words in Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. He says, "And that knowing the time," okay, he was telling his congregation here, the church at Rome, "and that knowing the time," understanding the time, recognizing the time, "that now," he was saying to that generation, "it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Let's break that down a little bit. Do you know what time it is? There was an old song by a group called Chicago. My father used to love that group. We weren't born again, so it was okay. And one of their songs was, does anybody know what time it is? Does anybody really care? Well, we as the ecclesia, the called out ones, the bone of his bone, the flesh of his flesh, it's obvious that we have a tendency to go to sleep. The sleeping virgins is a great testimony to that fact. And Paul's writing to the church saying, you need to know what time it is. And what he was referring to was not the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the time of glory. He's saying, you need to know the time of persecution that is about to come upon the church. You need to wake up, church in Rome, because there's a guy by the name of Nero and some Caesars that are going to follow him that are going to be antagonistic to the gospel, to the kingdom of Jesus Christ and the lordship of Christ, because these Caesars are so, they are so narcissistic that they claim to be the deity. They claim to be the Lord. They claim to be God. And any rival of a Caesar was not to be tolerated. And these Christians were exalting someone other than the Caesars of their day. And so this narcissistic spirit of Antichrist, this Luciferian, I will ascend to the right hand of God. I will ascend to the sides of the north. You know, the Isaiah 14 testimony of Lucifer's absolute off the chart narcissistic pride. Okay, so Paul's writing to them saying, you need to know what time it is. There's persecution coming. There's tribulation coming. And you need to wake up. You need to know that it's high time. And let's just take a look at that phrase there, high time. And what that actually means, it is a Greek word. And the Greek word here, let me just get it down pat, is the hora or the hora, meaning an hour. Literally or figuratively, it is a day, an hour, an instant. It's literally a certain definite time or season fixed by natural law and returning with the revolving year. All right, so we're talking about a definite time. What is that definite time? Think about it. What the Apostle Paul was telling the church in Rome is what Jesus was telling the disciples in his time. Jesus in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, sat four disciples down and revealed to them what was going to come in the future. Well, the future was growing on them very quickly. The apostles had the understanding by the Spirit of God that it was high time for what Jesus said was going to come, which was the scattering. When you see these things come to pass, go out of the city, flee to the mountains. If you're on the rooftop, don't go down to get your stuff. So the word of Jesus was about to be fulfilled, and Paul is waking up the church that's living in Rome, the very headquarters of the Caesar power that was there. And obviously, through the writings of James and Peter and John and the apostles, there was a time of awakening to the church everywhere in the world at that time, and which was predominantly in the Middle East and in Europe and in Greece and all of that good stuff. So here we are, knowing the time that now is high time to awake. Now, what does that word awake mean? I think we all get it, right? But it literally means to hamas, awake, it means us. It's really two Greek words here that we need to look at. It actually is hamas. That's kind of a strange thing. But to awake also means, let me see if I can get a good definition on this one, the egeiro, and it means to arouse. It's through the idea of collecting one's faculties. When you woke up early this morning, I mean, weren't you just kind of, your eyes weren't open yet, but your mind was active and you're trying to think about, you know, what do I need to do today? You're getting your faculties, you're worshiping God, you're praising God, you're aligning yourself with God's eternal purpose. So the idea that Paul is presenting is the idea of collecting one's faculties. Church, you've been asleep. Church, you've been snoring. Church, you've been dreaming. Church, you've been in this state of darkness and sleepiness. So waken now, rouse. Rouse from obscurity, inactivity, from ruins or non-existence. There's a rising up here. And so this is the time that I believe that this letter to the church at Rome is a letter to you and I today, to the saints of God all over the world, because the continued message of Yeshua, and definitely the prophecy of the book of Revelation is an end time prophecy ready to be fulfilled, and the signs of the times are everywhere. I have to believe that the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, the Apostle James, and the writers of the New Testament, they were looking at the signs. Remember, Jesus said, these will be the signs. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Well, he told them what was going to be. They were looking through the lens of what Christ had spoken. They were seeing the signs. And when you and I look at the prophecy, the book of Revelation, and we read what it says is going to be, because that's what it's all about, the events that are coming, and we're going to look at that again today. Well, now we're able to see everything coming to pass. And so now Paul is shaking the people. He's saying, wake up now. Wake up now. It's high time to awake out of sleep. And that word sleep there is the hypnos. And that word actually means spiritual torpor. Spiritual torpor. Just a sleepy mind. A sleepy spirit, right? And so he's saying, for now, from this time forward, that's what now actually means. From this moment forward, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And that word salvation is the soteria. And that word actually means deliverance, preservation, safety. And so, Paul, you get this idea as an apostle, a father of the church. He's waking the church up. Because the deliverance, the preservation, the safety, the salvation of their enemies is at hand. And they need to become aware of what's going on around them. And we also know about the eternal salvation. That's really good stuff. But something was closing in on them. Then he says this in verse 12. In verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. In other words, it's been dark for a long time. You've been sleeping through the night, but the night is coming to an end. You're arousing yourself now. You've been sleeping all night, but now you're collecting your faculties and you're about to awaken and a new day is dawning. And so Paul's talking in these terms that the night is far spent, the darkness is far spent, your time of sleepy, dreamy state is coming to an end. The day is at hand. So let us, therefore, here's what we're to do as we're coming out of sleep and awakening to a new day. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. All right, so you're waking up. The sleepy time is over, and we're to cast off. And what does that mean? That reminds me of what we talked about the other day in Isaiah chapter 52. Awake, awake, O Zion, put on thy strength, right? And, you know, it's talking about loose yourself from the band around your neck. Rise from the dust. Sit down. And so this cast off actually means to put off or aside or away, and literally just put away, and then do what? Cast off the works of darkness. Now, isn't that interesting that maybe the works here of darkness, the ergon, the employment, the business, the occupation of what's going on in the dark world, what's going on in the dark world. And the word darkness there actually is referring to, and here's the Greek word, the skotos, and that literally means darkened eyesight or blindness. Metaphorically, it's saying put away your ignorance, respecting divine things and human duties. So it's no longer affordable for the Church of Jesus Christ living in the hour in which we're living to be ignorant. Whether it's willing ignorance or any other form of ignorance, ignorance means to ignore. You can no longer ignore what is growing around you. And you can imagine in the Roman Empire, as Nero was coming to power, how things were starting to really grow. There was something going on that wasn't right. The people, because they were sleeping, didn't understand it. But the apostles, who were wide awake, were understanding. They were getting it. Paul had a personal revelation and his job again of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he knew these things were coming. So it's time to awaken from slumber. It's time to put away this blindness, this darkness, this ignorance. And what does he tell the church to do? And this is what I believe he's telling us to do. Let us put on. Now, when that's the enduo, and that's the enduo, and it means to sink into or to clothe oneself in the sense of sinking into a garment or to invest with clothing. So we're to be putting on something. And what is it? We are to be putting on the armor. The armor. Now, why would he want us to put armor on? Coming out of the night, coming out of sleep, waking up, gathering our faculties, no longer ignorant. It's time to wake up. The first thing he says to do is put off the ignorance and now put on the armor, the hoplon, the hoplon. And it is any tool or implement for preparing a thing. It's arms used in warfare or weapons. Why is Paul telling the church to be busy about? It means an implement or utensil or tool. Okay. It's especially, and I love this, literally or figuratively, especially offensive for war, going on the offense. The day that we are in is a time of the people of God putting on the armor of God to go forward. Do you notice that in Ephesians chapter 6, there is no armor for the backside? And if you turn from the battle and run, you're going to get shot in your backside, right? You have no armor back there. All the armor of God is designed for you and I as Christians to go into the battle, to go forward on the offensive in the battle. And that's where we are today. It's a clothing. He's telling people to put it on, the church to put it on. And it was a time when persecution was coming. So there will be conflict and there will be casualties. It is war time is what this scripture is really talking about. And so he says, let us put on the armor of what? Oh, man, I love this. Put on the armor of the phos. And that word there means light. Put on the armor of light. And that word actually means to shine or make manifest or to be luminous. It means to be full of fire and light. So put on the armor of illumination, manifestation, revelation. Literally, what he's going to say in just a moment is put on Christ. That's our armor, the armor of light. Why? Because the darkness, the deep darkness that is coming is going to shroud people all over the world. And many are going to fall away from the truth. They're going to be blinded by their ignorance because they're not adding to their faith, valor, or virtue. They're not adding to their virtue knowledge. They're not adding to their knowledge temperance. They're not adding to their temperance patience. They're not adding to their patience godliness. They're not adding to their godliness brotherly kindness. They're not adding to their brotherly kindness charity. And therefore, they are blind. They are unfruitful. They will be barren. They will not be able to stand. They will fall. That's all in 2 Peter chapter 1. We talked about it extensively last night. Now, we're told to put on the armor of light. And then in verse 13, let us walk honestly. All right, what does that mean to walk honestly? That means right now, as you and I are gathering our faculties, maybe we're already awake, and maybe some are still awakening by the sound of God that's going throughout the earth right now to wake up the church. Remember that sound at the midnight season, the 10 virgins, the trumpet blast sounded, and all the virgins awoke. Some were wise and some were foolish. Some have been very wise in collecting and gathering the oil that they're going to need for the journey ahead. But the word honestly here is a pretty cool word. It's euskemanos, and it means decorously, decently. It means a seemingly manner. So your walk with the Lord, my walk with the Lord, we are called to walk in honesty or be honest, have a decent walk, a pious walk with God, a holy walk with God. So let us walk honestly as in the day, as in the phos, as in the light, okay, in the day, not in rioting. Now, what does the word rioting mean? We don't want to be in rioting. Guess what? There's going to be a lot of riots coming. There are riots going on all over the world right now externally. There are protests all over the world, everywhere you look. And I suspect with what's coming down the pike during the 2020 elections in America, that is the vision year, 2020, the vision year. Somebody had a vision about this time. I know God has it on his calendar as a set time. And I know that world rulers, they're probably the same people that allowed 9/11 to happen. How interesting was that, that the Twin Towers came down on 9/11. Somebody had some intellect. So there are powers that know, but this word here, all right, this word of rioting means it's komos, and it means carousal, reveling. It's also not only referring to a violent protest of people clashing, it's living in a manner that is letting loose. It's loose living. It's one foot in, it's one foot out, it's compromise here, it's lukewarmness here, it's half-heartedness here. And yet everything in 2 Peter chapter 1 from 5 on tells us that we're to be diligent. We are to be employing all of our energies to make sure that we're ready to face what is coming down the pike. So it's really not a time. And do you know, this is interesting. Listen to this definition of riotous. Do not believe that way. It means nocturnal and riotous procession of half-drunken and frolicsome fellows who after supper parade through the streets with torches and music in honor of Bacchus or some other deity and sing and play before houses of male and female friends, hence used generally of feast and drinking parties that are protracted till late at night and indulge in revelry. Now, most of you are not doing that. We've all had our part in that at one time in our lives, but most of us aren't doing that. But it could be a spiritual issue that needs to be examined. And so, again, don't live loosely is the key here. So let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering. What does chambering mean? That's the koite, the koite. And that means a couch. It literally means the male sperm. So I guess chambering's talking about living a sensual, sexual appetite lifestyle. In other words, it's time to get off the couch, get out of the bed, stop spooing things that are unnecessary just for pleasure, and start really getting ready for what's coming down the pike. That's the nicest way to say that. And don't live in wantonness. All right, not chambering and wantonness, the elselge. And by the way, that's not to say if you're married, you shouldn't enjoy your relationship with your wife. You better, okay, or your husband. All right, so this is, now watch this. Wantonness is literally another Greek word that's very, it's elselgeia, and it means unbridled lust, excess, lasciviousness, wantonness, outrageousness, shamelessness. All right, we don't want to be there, not even for a minute. So, again, these are the things the apostle's saying. Wake up, put on light, don't walk this way, don't live. And this is a big one in verse 13 where he says, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife. The word strife there is eris. It means contention, wrangling. It means a quarrel. We've been dealing with a spirit, a pugnacious spirit. We shared with the congregation last week that we need to bind up a pugnacious spirit, which is a quick to argue, a defensive tone. Somebody says something, you're quick to fight back. Pugnacious, look it up. It's important to get rid of that. You don't want to be that way. And this really coincides with that. We don't want to be caught in contention, debate, strife, variance, quarreling. You know, these things he says not to do. And not only in strife, but also envy. Don't live in the zelos. And the zelos literally means heat, zeal, ardor in an unfavorable way, or jealousy. Jealousy. Okay? Indignation. Don't be angry at other people that are prospering in the Lord because you're not. Don't become envious of other people's gifts. Don't become envious. Don't be that way. I mean, can you see what Paul's really saying? He's saying, folks, it's time to get rid of all this stuff. Obviously, some people in the church were doing this. They were living this way because they were in that sleepy state. They were in the nighttime darkness. But now the blast is coming. Wake up and come out of this. It's life and death. And then Paul closes up by saying the greatest words that I think have ever been penned. But, he says, rather than all of that, verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sink down into it. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can Scripture be any plainer? Don't put on a form of Jesus Christ or a replica of Jesus Christ or, you know, some look-alike Jesus Christ. No, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision. Make no provision for the flesh. Now, that word there, provision, is really going to be based in the pronoia, and it's providential care, to have forethought or supply. Don't give any provision to the what? To the flesh. What is the flesh here? It's the sarx. And what that word really is, you know, we have the skin and bones, right? But it's the sensuous nature of man, the animal nature, the appetite. This animal nature with cravings which incite to sin, the physical nature of man. So the flesh, Paul's saying to the church, a spiritual people, don't make provision for that, but supply yourself with spiritual things. Put on Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so I'm looking at this, and he said, again, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And that's how the chapter ends, Romans chapter 13. So again, you put this all together, and it is a divine wake-up call. It is a divine warning. It is a time. It's high time to awake. Yes, it is. I'm looking around me here. So I got Patricia Joy is going to be joining me on the air right now. We're going to do the flipping screen thing. And by the way, before she comes on the air, I want to ask you a question. Just a little pause, a little selah to what we're talking about today. We have a need for this radio ministry and for YouTube. We have the greatest computer down here that's running everything. And by the way, Omega Radio, their site has been down. The Rev Media that runs Omega Radio. That's why you can't be listening right now on Omega Radio. But they're, when they get it fixed, we'll be back 24/7 on the air. But this computer we have down here is working perfect. But for Patricia to join me in the place she wants to, her computer is so outdated. We have one of our friends in the church that looked at it and said it's just outdated. And we need to get another laptop computer for her so that she could be joining me on the YouTube videos and be broadcasting from her office. And I think that's exactly the way we need to do this. And Patricia is also preparing to do her own 1.5 hour YouTube video and radio broadcast out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. She's going to take it to a whole new level and start fresh and opening lines up on Blog Talk. And she'll be going through Omega Radio Live. So we have a need. And our friend showed us exactly the computer we need. And with taxes and everything, it's about a $600 computer that we need to purchase for Patricia, a laptop computer. So if this ministry is of value to you, maybe you could help supply that need for the computer. And that's exactly what it will be used for. But neither Patricia or I have personal need for a laptop. But for the work we're doing, we certainly do want to do it. But having said that, Patricia, I've been in Romans chapter 13, and I'm going to shift this over to you for a moment so you can say hello to everybody, and let's say good morning.
Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful, beautiful time to be alive, because we are watching the work of the Holy Spirit magnificently, absolutely fulfill the prophecies and the word of God, especially the book of Revelation and all those that are attached with it. And Pastor Vincent, you mentioned the church being under persecution, that we should be on fire because there is a persecution coming about. And you know what? That's when the church does get on fire. When there's persecution, God knows what he's doing. We became a very complacent body, a very complacent church. And that has happened because of all the riches of this nation, the conveniences, the wonderful things we do experience. We sort of just sat back and let the gospel be preached on the means of grace and grace alone. Yes, grace is the beginning of a wonderful walk with God. It is a free gift, and we could receive that gift. But after the reception of that gift, we must move on to greater and bigger things in which he called us to do. Each and every one of us have a purpose, a reason for being here at this time. And we then lost our way. And in doing so, darkness became the strength of this nation. So I know that the persecution we're under right now is necessary for the church to become on fire again, as it had happened in the days of Roman occupation in Israel. You see, nothing's new under the sun. Only this time it's in a greater capacity. So let us remember and let us understand that persecution is not a bad thing. It's going to work out for God's glory and our good.
All right, Patricia Joy, I don't know if this article is real. I certainly trust the Christian woman that gave it to us. It's our dear sister, Miriam. She just sent a text message. And again, I'm having a real hard time believing that this is true, because it's so unbelievable, not that it's not a true report, but we just received information that Canada just legalized their court up there, their Supreme Court just legalized sex with animals.
Oh, that's hard to believe.
Sex with animals. Waleed Shubat. Now, Waleed Shubat is an ex-terrorist out of the Nation of Islam, and he came to America to kill a lot of Americans. He, you know who Waleed Shubat is. I've interviewed him many times throughout the years, and he's somewhat of a controversial figure, but he and his son do have a ministry, and they've been trying to awaken the church to the realities of Islam, which I totally believe and agree with. But he just brought out this report. I'm trying to find it again, where this situation where the Supreme Court actually legalized having sex with animals. I mean, how's that work?
We have to be very careful what we do read, and I'm not saying it isn't true, because I believe Miriam does search out well. In fact, her husband Phil does quite a bit of searching the scriptures in line with the prophetic. And I am reminded about the pagantry that was being established by the Jezebel spirit, Jezebel herself, in the time of Israel, where she was a ruling spirit over Israel, and her husband listened and did what she asked him to do. And there were a group of false prophets at the time, and they were in line with doing the will of Jezebel. And Elijah at the time rose up, a mighty man of God with incredible spirit. And he came before Jezebel. The Jezebel spirit is alive today, by the way. You notice that women have risen up in this nation and taken positions of authority. And they are the ones most talking on the programs of the news and other various means. And we see it day in and day out, and they're getting more and more powerful. The men are following suit, but sort of dragging along. The women are in the forefront. Now, it is fine for women to be noted as something wonderful and good, for we have been gifted and we are blessed, but not to be used for evil. And what I'm seeing now is that these women that are so outspoken and so bold are being used for evil. Anyway, the spirit of Elijah has risen up within certain people in government and the evangelical body. And that spirit is now conflicting with the spirit of Jezebel, with the false prophets. And what will happen eventually is that one will be proven over the other. And in the works, it was proven in the book of Elijah. You will read it. We are of that spirit now. So come on, body of Christ. Let's come against these things we're hearing, and let's do something about it in prayer.
Amen. Patricia, I just found the article, and it's I'm going to read it. I just think it needs to be out there because we mentioned it. This is what Waleed Shabbat said. He said, when my favorite street preacher and friend Jeremy De Los Santos chases reprobates, he usually yells at them saying, what an evil, wicked generation full of the devil and on the road to hell. This should be fitting as one reads many of the headlines these days. The Independent reported that the case involved a British Columbia man identified as DLW who was convicted of 13 counts of sexually assaulting his stepdaughters, but was acquitted of bestiality because he, quote, only forced dogs into oral sex without penetration being involved. The man smeared peanut butter on the genitals of his victims and had the family dog lick it off while he would videotape the act. As a result of this story, the case for allowing bestiality came up, and instead of doing what is right, Canada's Supreme Court instead legalized having sex between people and animals as long as no penetration is involved. Out of the eight judges, only one had sanity. Justice Rosalie Abella, the lone dissenter in the 7-1 ruling, said that penetration should not be considered essential when defining bestiality. Acts with animals that have a sexual purpose are inherently exploitative, whether or not penetration occurs, Abella said. The West is becoming sicker and sicker. The Canadian legislature process recently made international news after the Liberty Party, led by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, introduced a new bill seeking to establish 2-year prison terms for people found guilty of transgender discrimination. There remains much to be done, though, he said. Far too many people still face harassment, discrimination, and violence for being who they are. This is unacceptable, Trudeau said at the time, noting that the bill would expand existing hate speech prohibitions to include any public speech or communication that promotes hatred on the basis of gender identity or gender expression, which is aimed at defending transgender people. And there's a lot more to the article, but can you imagine such a wicked thing?
This is a war between evil and darkness. Evil and light and darkness and light and evil and good. I'm sorry. This is what we have come into. And this is what we are beginning to see more and more. We are not surprised because we have been told by the prophetic word that in the last days it will be such a darkness and such an evil that penetrates the world that it would never have been from the foundations of the earth, and it would be worse than anything any individual has ever seen since the world began. And we're there. But what do we do? That's why my husband said, put on your armor. Put on the armor of light and truth. The word of God is very clear on how to put on your armor and how to demonstrate that armor. We are in spiritual warfare. People are being used like a chess game. But behind the chess game is the demonic and the spiritually righteous. And the work is on. The war is on. The battle is on. But I have news. We win, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But we are going to go through these things, and we must rise up. We must put on our armor. We must not be afraid, and we must learn how not to be afraid, not through brainwashing, but through the word of God and the truth.
Well said, Patricia Joy. Xavier, you know what I was hearing while you were talking? And this is what we just want to communicate with our listeners. I heard in my spirit the homosexuals, the lesbians, the pedophiles, the transgender people, like in the days of Lot, are dancing and marching through the streets with their stupor, their drunkenness, and they're coming close now to the home of the righteous. And the righteous man was Lot, and they were surrounding his house. And that is where the antagonism, the word persecution, comes to mind. When these people begin to gather, they're not just doing their own thing anymore. They don't want to just be perverse behind closed doors. They don't want to just be perverse in their own homes, in their own parties, with their own people, their own kind. This is the time when the perverts of Sodom were now coming to the house of the righteous. And that is a great example of what we're trying to communicate, the coming persecution. It's when the mind of the evil, the mind of Lucifer, the mind of the wicked is turning towards the house of the righteous. And this is where you need to be prepared. I mean, this is coming. And the ritual that they are going to demand, the ritual, is to do evil to the righteous. And in some cases, as we've seen throughout history, it's going to prevail. So again, Patricia, this is a time to be ready. The church needs to understand what time it is, knowing the time that it is high time to awake, because there's something going on. It's not just all for the glory, and although there is a tremendous amount of glory, but it's time for the battle because the persecution is coming. Your thoughts?
And one of the greatest way to fight this battle is not to be afraid, to know who you serve and to know he's truly with you, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us and given the authority to cast out devils. That's what we're dealing with. We are dealing with Satan. We are dealing with Lucifer, another name in a different way of handling things, a demon of excruciating agony and pain to anyone who will receive him. We cannot be afraid. We have to cast off the work of darkness, which has already been spoken by Pastor Vincent. How do we do that? I wrote a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, which will teach you exactly how to do that. If you are interested in reading that book, please email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. This will help me to buy the necessary tools that I can do a better job regarding the Omega Radio programming. So please listen to me. At this point, we have to learn how to put on our armor. We have to learn how to fight the devil and his demonic demon cohorts in a manner and way in which most churches have not been taught. The time is now, and that's why we place our armor on. It'll be discussed in my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights.
Amen. Amen, Patricia. So we're talking now about spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is when a thought, a word, remember Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Well, the word that the devil speaks, they are spirit and they are death. And if a spirit or a word gets into your head and you believe the lie, you come under the influence of that lie, right? A lot of people have spirit in them, evil spirit, because something was planted in their soul. And they've been living a very long time in their life believing that lie. And the only way to expose that lie is to know the truth. And the only way to know the truth is to have the spirit of truth, to get born again, and to read the Logos Word of God, the revealed will of God. That will expose anything you believe about yourself that has been influencing you or causing your conduct to be a certain way. It's because the devil put something in there. It could have happened in the womb, word curses that were spoken by mom or dad. It could be generational bloodline curses, things that you believed growing up as a child. Someone said to you, spirit. Warfare is getting the lie out of your soul, out of your mind. You need to know, I need to know, we need to know the things that are going on in this world. And Patricia, your book is so valuable in that sense because this is how we can overthrow the satanic kingdom and really allow for the victory of Christ to take place.
When we really realize that this is what is going on, this is the work that has been called from the foundation of the earth, the time in which Adam and Eve were thrust out of the garden, this warfare began. And it has accumulated up to this time. We are in the time of the end, where the kingdom of God is ready to be established on this earth, where righteousness will rule and evil will be put away. Now, it is important to know that Satan is very clever, and he uses deception as his greatest weapon. And multitudes of Christians are becoming deceived because they haven't read the word with the abundant power of the Holy Spirit to help them to understand scripture in truth. So now things need to be taken care of, and that is understanding the times in which we're in and what is necessary for a Christian to do. Again, the book was written for that very reason, to become victorious over the evil one and to walk this walk circumspectly without fear in all that you see coming upon the earth. And folks, we're just beginning. You think you're going to fly away? You're going to be going through the fire to make the church a greater church. Because as I said earlier, the purging of fire in the church makes it a great, wonderful, mighty church. It's a cleansing process.
Well, amen to that. Amen to that. Praise God. I'm getting back to our comments over here. And I want you to know today, whether you're listening or watching, that you are washed, that you are clean, that you are pure, that you are holy, that you are sanctified, you are justified. You see, it's a finished work. That's who you are. And your mind, your soul, as well as mine and everybody listening, needs to catch up with that reality. It's not good enough to know that. It's not good enough to say, well, I'm washed, I'm clean, I'm justified, sanctified. It's good, but it's not good enough. Because until it becomes a reality, until that truth takes over in our soul, it doesn't show its power. The power of the cross, the power of Christ. So the fact is, the important fact is that you are washed. You are clean. And you need to be stubbornly standing in that truth against the wiles of the devil when he comes to accuse you, when he comes to condemn you, when he comes to shame you or put guilt upon you. You need to know who you are in Christ. And not only know it in the scientific part of your brain, but to know it in the depth of understanding, recognition, perception, you need to know the truth of God's word for your life. You are not the old creature. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so put it on. Why? Because if we go forward into these times, not knowing through experience, experiential knowing, not just head knowledge, we're going to get hurt. The enemy's coming with power, and we need to resist with power that's greater than his own. But if we don't put it on, if we don't walk in it today, right now, at this moment, say and make it clear and practice it and walk in it, what God says about us, kings and priests, having dominion and authority, being able to rebuke, having the keys of the kingdom, exercising the power and dominion of our faith through the blood of Jesus Christ, and in getting the victory in the areas that we've been in struggle with, now is the time to do it. Wake up to this reality. It is imperative for what's coming, because what is coming is a supercharged demonic energy designed to overthrow your faith and mine. Patricia, your thoughts?
Yes, thank you. I believe also that we have to be very, very aware, as you said earlier, that persecution is not a bad thing. It's not a bad word. Persecution is a good thing for the church. It will bring forth the fire that is necessary.
It'll make us
time.
Or break us.
It'll make us or break us. And one thing I want to bring to your enlightenment is this. Do not take an offense. Not now. It is one of the worst things that any individual can do as a Christian. And you need to know how serious it is. In Galatians 5:11, it speaks in this manner. And it says, "And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased." When that ceases, you are going to walk freely. "Do you know that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ?" You will prove excellences at being excellent if you are sincere and not receiving any offense until the day of Christ. That's your excellence. Are you ready for that? And it could be done. Again, it's a learning process through the scriptures, through the word of God, but it is a necessity.
Amen. All right. So we're down to just a couple of minutes left on our broadcast today, and we're going to go out getting ready for tomorrow. We have a meeting with a number of pastors tomorrow morning, so we probably will not be on the air tomorrow morning live, but we do want to go out of this broadcast telling you and sharing with you and speaking with you about this necessity right now to really consider Romans chapter 13, 2 Peter chapter 1. Study those two chapters, particularly Romans 13, starting in about verse 11, and then move on into 2 Peter chapter 1. There's some great information that, and there's a promise. If we obey and do the things that the word says, particularly in 2 Peter, you will never fall. And that's the one place we want to be. We never, ever, ever want to fall. So again, I'm going to ask if you are out there and you are able to assist in a laptop computer to complement this ministry, to get everything working in the right direction. It's a $600 computer. And if you would be helpful in providing that, it will be a blessing to this ministry to be able to continue to do the things that we are doing. So did you have something you wanted to say on that, Patricia?
I just want to remind everyone to please cast off the work of darkness. You could do it by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Cast off the work of darkness.
Amen. Amen. So the best way to go out here today, I think, is just to say, God bless you. Patricia and I, we're just here to serve. He's put us on YouTube. He's allowed us to be on radio. I know there's a lot of information out there, and we hope that the information we're sharing is a direct connect to your spirit and something that will empower you. I'm asking the Holy Spirit right now to anoint the words that were spoken today, to give power to them, and that because of what you heard today, God will be able to speak to you in a rhema word in any situation you may face, because you're investing your time and you're studying and you're being diligent in your walk with God and you're downloading the word of God. This gives opportunity for the Holy Spirit to give you an exact word at the exact moment you need to know what to do. And that's why this investment of time is so good. And we want to thank you for following us on YouTube. We need to get the word out to people. So if you would help us to get the word out to New Wine Ministry TV, YouTube, and type in New Wine Ministry TV and find that little cluster of grapes. That's us. And let people know. And we also want to continue to let people know that we're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop on Omega Radio. Right now it's down because Rev Media had an issue. I talked to Felicia yesterday, but that'll be fixed, I'm sure, momentarily. And we'll be up and running 24/7. People could go there all the time. We are broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. We are spending a good fair of money each month. And we're not trying to do anything other than just get it working, have the bills paid. I want to thank the three people that supported us financially this last month. And for anybody that would like to support us, you could go to our website at omegaradio.org. And there's a donate tab there, or you could go to nwmglobal.org and support us there. And for the three people that did give, God bless you and thank you. But we have a little bit greater of a need right now, so we're asking to those that may be listening or will be listening on archive for your help to just keep growing and expanding in the right direction. Everything is great. We're thankful to be on the air and to be able to share these things with you. We're going to have to say goodbye for now. Have a blessed weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio and Omega Radio. Until then, shalom. Keep your head in the heavens. Keep your mind on Christ. Keep your heart at peace with God and enjoy the moment. We're in the greatest journey that anybody has ever known. This is going to be amazing. What an adventure. Stay close to the body of Christ. Stay close to Jesus. We love you. God bless and goodbye to everybody on YouTube. All right. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to say goodbye now to our Blog Talk audience. We're going to end that episode. Shalom.